Hi, hello, everybody. Once again, this is Jeff Adams of the Icebox Radio Theater. And hey, welcome to episode 14, if you can believe it, of season one, Radio Icebox. The episode is entitled Box Set Match, and we'll be getting to the fun stuff in just a bit. But I want to let you know about a new podcast we've got here at the Icebox Radio Theater. It's called Funny in a Small Town. It's improvised, it's breezy, it's me and Ayla and Justin Kapla hanging out and just talking about what it's like to be witty and urbane in a community where there actually was a leech heist at a bait store recently. That's Funny in a Small Town. Just go to our Spreaker page and look for it, coming to an iTunes near you. Just briefly remind you that there's a Patreon page we'd love you to visit. Learn all about Patreon, supporting the Icebox Radio Theater, and keeping Radio Icebox on the air for another season. That is at our website, iceboxradio.org. And now, on with the show.
Following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance.
What do you mean?
I'm sorry, Sam.
Oh, quit saying I'm sorry. It's not helping.
I don't know what else to say.
Well, Sam.
Abby, please. I'm trying to question a witness.
Okay, but I was a witness too. And I think I'm a little more lucid than Dr. Graves.
Honestly, Sam, I really don't remember much about the last 2 hours.
Define not much.
Virtually nothing.
Weren't they performing your play tonight?
Yes. And I remained here in the building to listen. I was in the box office. There's a surprisingly comfortable chair in there.
But you don't remember anything about the play?
No, I'm afraid. I'm in a bit of a fugue state when one of my stories is being performed.
A fugue state?
Well, a kind of fugue state.
Well, there's no reason to sound so skeptical.
There's every reason to sound skeptical. Mention of a fugue state is often the first step in building an insanity defense.
Sam!
Just doing my job.
And doing your job includes framing Dr. Graves?
Abby, please.
It just makes me mad.
I know. But he is just doing his job. And unfortunately, I'm just telling the truth. I don't remember much about the broadcast. I do remember being happy, though. It was a good show.
Thank you.
Now that we've had our moment, can we get back to the murder?
Oh, it wasn't a murder. Major Rideau was already dead.
Yes, you've said as much. One more time through it, please. Abby, what did you see?
After the show tonight, I came up from the studio to find Dr. Graves and see if he liked the show. When I entered the ballroom, I saw Major Rideau standing on the balcony. He was on the wrong side of the railing, holding on.
Wait a minute. Didn't you say Major worked on the play tonight?
Yes, in sound effects. But there wasn't a sound effects cue on the last 2 pages. He must have wandered upstairs.
You didn't see him leave?
No, I was running the board. I was kind of distracted.
Go on.
After I saw him on the balcony, I called out to him. He didn't respond. Something about the look in his eye made me worry, so I called out for JJ. Everyone ran up to the studio, and that's when he fell.
You said he didn't respond.
He didn't, no.
And you said he fell. Did he fall or jump?
Well, hanging onto the railing like he was, all he had to do was let go. He just fell.
And doctor, where were you during all this time?
I was on the balcony.
The whole time?
I don't really know.
Why didn't you stop Major from jumping?
I don't remember. The first thing I remember is standing on the balcony, looking down at Major's body on the floor.
That's the first thing?
Yes. As I say, I listened to the show from the box office down in the lobby. I don't remember coming upstairs at all. I just opened my eyes and saw Major's body on the floor below with everyone huddled around him.
Abby, where was Dr. Graves when you first saw Major on the balcony like that?
I don't remember seeing Dr. Graves. Not then, anyway.
You don't?
No. I mean, the balcony runs the entire length of the room. Major was way down by the stage. When I first noticed Dr. Graves, he was at the other end.
And how far did that put him from Major?
20, 30 feet.
Uh-huh. And you don't even remember coming upstairs?
No, unfortunately. It's all shadows.
Right.
What? What is it?
Are you sure you're not trying to build an insanity defense?
I know how it sounds.
It sounds like an insanity defense.
Yes.
You claim that Major Rideau is dead, And has been dead for weeks.
I believe that to be true.
That is insane.
I assure you I am perfectly lucid at the moment. Previous dialogue notwithstanding.
Doctor, he was clearly not dead until a little while ago. Everyone in the building said he worked as a sound effect artist on tonight's play.
I'm just telling you what I know.
And how do you know that exactly?
The ghost inside my head told me.
This is pointless.
Sam!
No, Abby, I'm done. Doctor, I've known you my whole life. I respect you very much, but it's obvious that you're either crazy or trying to pretend you're crazy. You're going to have to come along with me.
Where?
The station, for questioning.
Isn't that what we're doing here?
Yes, but I think things need to be a bit more formal from this point on.
Sam!
No, whatever it is, no.
Can I come with him at least?
You can come to the station and wait in the lobby if you want, but you can't come in with him.
Chief, you there. Come back.
But...
Abby, it's all right.
I'm here, Darren. What is it?
He thinks you did something wrong.
He's just doing his job. Besides, I honestly don't know what happened. This new spirit takes over my mind in a way that's quite beyond my experience.
You mean she possesses you?
No, I'm always quite present. It's more like she's always present, too. It's like she's riding piggyback.
Darren, that's crazy.
I just...
One moment.
That's insane. No, I will not sign the report if you write it up like that. Do your tests again and get it right this time. I don't care if the fish aren't biting out by Viking Reef. Do your damn job.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Come on, Doctor. We're going downtown.
Very well, if you insist.
I do. There are way too many questions to be answered, and I think we need a little formality around here.
Sam, what was that call?
Police business.
That was Darren, right?
So?
So he always had a crush on me in school. I'll call him, flirt for 30 seconds, and find out anyway.
Then I guess that's just what you'll have to do. Come on, Doc.
News headlines now from Radio Icebox. This is Touch Beef Punch reporting. Wilma Claris of 4th Street has filed suit in county court in International Falls in an attempt to regain $200 from the Rolling Stones for ruining her grandson's 15th birthday party. Claris has paid the Rolling Stones, an all-auto harp band from Bemidji, in the mistaken belief that the five-person Finnish folk music group was the more popular rock and roll band responsible for numerous gold and platinum records, television specials, and cultural significance. Claris maintains that the Bemidji Rolling Stones misrepresented themselves and intentionally misled her into believing they were the more famous rock and roll band of the same name. Claris's grandson invited his entire high school to the event, which was attended by over 300 of his closest friends. Claris maintains that the boy has suffered irreparable social and emotional damage as a result of 2 solid hours of auto harp music and the swirly 3 football players subjected him to. The Rolling Stones, which were booked into the South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas, were unavailable for comment. Fishing opener will be delayed several hours on Saturday so that Mrs. Roger Smith can look for her pet goldfish who was accidentally flushed down the toilet Friday night. The fish, named Silver, after the Lone Ranger's horse, was accidentally flushed during a tank cleaning mishap. Smith maintains that the fish is unique among his kind and is capable of doing tricks, including jumping through a hoop, swimming backwards on command, and even a version of singing, facilitated by releasing different size bubbles in a particular order. Smith urges all fishermen to join her in a sweep of Big Space Rock Lake, starting at sunup. Those available to help should meet at the end of Beach Street, and she urges that the more dip nets, the better. Smith is offering a plate of brownies to the party who brings her silver safely home.
No.
You have to.
I really don't think I do.
And why do you think that exactly?
Well, because,
Yes?
Because I'm the program director?
If this is your idea of being a take-charge kind of guy, I'm not impressed.
Fine, I am officially wrapped around your little finger.
Thank you.
But seriously, why do we need to help Dr. Graves?
You aren't really asking that, are you?
Why do we? I mean, shouldn't we just let the police handle it?
Oh, I can't stand just sitting around doing nothing.
You don't think he did anything wrong, do you?
Of course not.
And don't you think Sam is smart enough to figure that out on his own?
Well, that's completely beside the point.
Yes?
It is. for reasons that will occur to me any second now.
Abby, I trust Sam. And I trust my own eyes. Dr. Graves was 20 feet away from Major when he fell. There's no way he could have had anything to do with it. Trust me. Sam's just trying to figure out what's going on.
You didn't see Sam. He was turning from red to purple and back again. He wanted to pin this murder on someone in the worst way.
I don't think cops really pin things on people like they do in the movies.
You didn't see him.
I don't think he was trying to pin it on anyone. He was just, you know, frustrated. He wants to know what's going on.
Yeah, but you didn't see him. He was...
Yes?
He was angry and frustrated, but he was still Sam.
Okay. Feeling better?
No.
I'm sorry, I really am. I guess we can go down to the police station if you want, hold a vigil or something?
No, it's okay. Besides, don't we have a rehearsal tonight?
Oh, that's right, we do.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, kid.
How are you? How's it going? Cody?
I've been down to the falls.
Are you okay?
You're white as a sheet. Here, sit down.
Okay.
Why were you in the falls? Is everything okay?
It's Grandpa.
What?
What's wrong?
I really don't know how to answer that.
Cody, what's wrong?
The thing is, well, they took him to the funeral home.
Okay.
The Swanson home, right there on Main Street. They've been in business for decades.
Uh-huh.
So they couldn't make a mistake like this.
There was a mistake at the funeral home?
What mistake, Cody?
They're not coroners, you know. I mean, they're pretty much forensic experts, but it's not really their field.
What's not their field?
Establishing time of death.
Cody, just tell us.
I know Teddy pretty well, the youngest Swanson son. We went to school together.
Okay.
He called today. He told me I should come down to the home.
He wanted you to come and see your grandfather before the funeral?
It's not like the bride at a wedding, Abby. It's okay to view the dead guy before the funeral.
Oh, still, it's just... Why? Why put you through that?
Because he... Do you remember what Dr. Graves said right after it happened?
I remember. He said Major had been dead for weeks.
He was in shock.
Yeah.
He admitted he didn't even remember going upstairs after the show, much less what he said.
But that's the thing. Teddy Swanson thinks he's right.
What?
Teddy told me he worked on all kinds of people. Some dead a few hours, others dead weeks. And he said my grandpa has been dead, for over a month.
That's,
And that's not all. He said it wasn't just that Grandpa looked like he'd been gone a while. It was different. He said it was like the cells had been degrading for a month, but the whole process was slowed way down. Like he was alive, but not. Like...
The Walking Dead? What? What is it?
Really?
What?
All this stuff is happening and you decide to make it ridiculous.
I'm sorry. Do you prefer, I don't know, the undead?
My grandfather is not a vampire, JJ.
I'm not saying he is, because vampires can't be killed by a moderate fall, just a stake through the... never mind.
Oh, my God.
All right. I admit using bad movie mythology is probably inappropriate, but am I wrong? Is this not what we're talking about? I mean, the experts say he's been dead a month, but he looked pretty lively yesterday, right? I'm not wrong about that, am I?
No, you're not.
Thank you.
The truth is, we don't know what we're dealing with. Not at all.
All right, just so long as I'm not being blamed for creating zombie grandpa. I didn't make him, I just labeled him.
That's right. You didn't make him.
No, I did not.
Which makes you the perfect candidate to figure out what happened to him.
Right, so I just... What?
You have to dig around and figure out what happened to make grandpa that way.
But why me?
You taught journalism, didn't you? This is some serious investigative reporting.
I taught high school journalism. And the administration had a standing order to spike all investigative stories. You don't want a bunch of hyper-intelligent Scoobies running around the school digging up dirt.
Why not?
Because they'll find it.
Whatever. I need you to figure this out.
Well, what are you going to be doing?
I have to get back to the workshop and start on the time machine.
Okay, that makes about as much sense as anything this week.
Thank you. Just start with Barb and follow the liquid.
Right.
Thank you.
Well?
Well, what?
You want to tell me what to do first? Because I have no idea how to start an investigative anything.
Come on, Bob Woodward. We'll go talk to Barb.
Who's Bob Woodward?
Ugh.
There's no daylight. There's no warmth. This old engine won't turn over. I feel lucky. I can see my breath. It means that I'm still kicking in this icebox. Northern edge. The vertigo is forming stars. Slowing down of a tired comet. I feel defeated. Hanging from the ledge. It's just me. And some distant howl reaching for the big old moon. Everything so soon, the fields were gold, now it's frozen dirt. The birds have all moved south. The better it feels, the more it'll hurt. Your name burns in my mouth. I feel grateful. Something else besides Mother Nature strains you, plagues you. She provides. There's no night time. There's no sun. It's all one.
Here are some items of interest in the Icebox community. The vacant lot at the corner of Creek and Fifth Street will be the site of the 5th Annual Icebox Imaginary Ball Croquet Championship this weekend. Though mallets will be allowed at this year's event, competitors are reminded that all balls should not possess mass or weight as commonly understood under the laws of physics. The organizers, the Icebox Ladies Garden Club, remind all entrants that in the event of disagreements over the position, velocity, and destructive power of the imaginary balls, the referee's rulings shall be final. The Ladies Garden Club is also taking applications for people interested in volunteering as referee bodyguards. Snipers, archers, and other marksmen and women are encouraged to apply. This year's Spring Festival will be held in Roger Karp's garage at 515 Beach Avenue, and will feature a look at various types of cushion springs used throughout history. Don Kupchak will bring his collection of buggy springs from the 19th century, and Pete Coward has promised to bring several examples of train seats from his uncle's world-famous train car collection. Information on the study and preservation of springs will be available at the event, and, for those who live outside of Icebox, also available at the organization's new website, www.boingboing.com.
Do you got it?
I got it.
Are you sure? You don't seem very sure.
I'm fine. I just need a... Oh, boy.
Lunch coming back?
No. Maybe. Yes.
Use the potted plant.
Okay. I'm okay.
Are you sure?
Yes. No. Yes.
Maybe you should go sit in the bathroom for a while.
No, I'm okay. We just need to go over what happened.
We went to International Falls to the funeral home. Cody's friend showed us Grandpa's body, and then you threw up.
Right.
And then you threw up twice more on the way home. Now you're threatening to throw up again.
Could you please not talk about throwing up quite so much?
The point is, we took the trip to the falls for nothing.
Not for nothing. We now know that Major Rideau is definitely dead.
And it looks like he's been that way for weeks.
Yeah. What do you remember?
About what?
About Grandpa. Over the past few weeks, I mean.
I don't understand.
Well, okay, we saw his body. He looked, well, when an expert tells me he'd been dead for weeks, I say that matched with the evidence of my eyes. Yet he worked on a show with us just yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was walking around and everything. How could, I mean, shouldn't we have noticed something?
You mean notice Grandpa was a living corpse?
Yeah, exactly.
You would think. We have to talk to Barb.
She of the mysterious liquid, right?
The mysterious turkey reanimating liquid.
You think the liquid has something to do with Grandpa?
I think it might reanimate more than turkeys, yes.
Zombie juice.
Can you please not refer to the horrible, life-threatening serum as if it were a new flavor of Mountain Dew?
I'll try. Do you think she got rid of it yet?
I hope not. Just need to get my... Ah!
What is it? Whoa!
Dr. Graves, you startled me.
I'm terribly sorry, Abby. I did not mean to.
You're back.
I am back.
How did it go at the police station?
It went as it was meant to be. Nothing varied from the expected.
Okay.
Dr. Graves, are you all right?
He's fine. Just give him some time to relax. It's been a stressful day.
I'm without hindrance in my spirit.
See?
Let's have you sit down over here.
The orientation of my physical body is irrelevant.
Then you won't mind sitting down, will you?
Oh, good point, Abby. I'll sit.
Now, maybe you should start by telling me what happened at the police station.
I was questioned. Then they let me go.
Just like that? Nothing more?
That's all we need, right? I mean, we shouldn't look a gift horse.
What is your problem?
I'm just trying to nudge things back to normal.
That's nudging?
Firm nudging. Maybe halfway to a shove.
That's shoving, JJ.
All right, fine. I'm freaked out.
By what?
By you.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm sorry, Dr. Graves. I know you've had a long day.
It is understandable, JJ.
Thank you.
After all, I'm not really Dr. Graves.
Well, that's just as a what?
I suppose I should have led with that. It would have made things easier to understand.
What do you mean you're not really Dr. Graves?
I'm sorry. I misspoke.
Oh, thank God.
I both am and am not the one called Graves.
Okay, what does that mean?
I know what it means.
Tell me, please.
There's a ghost piggybacking on Dr. Graves right now, and she's in control.
Okay, see, that doesn't really help.
But it is essentially accurate.
See?
Accuracy wasn't the issue.
If you're not Dr. Graves, who are you?
That is hard to explain. I am Dr. Graves, and I am the Other.
Does the Other have a name? What should we call her?
She has a name made of starlight, and the flash of energy from all the atoms of the universe rotating in the divine dance they have been dancing since the beginning of creation.
Okay, I'm never going to remember all that.
In that case, you may call her Peggy.
Okay, Peggy, why are you here?
To exist, just like all beings in the universe.
Okay, but why are you here now? I mean, why have we never seen or talked to you before?
I must hide.
Why? Are you in danger?
We are all in danger. I always need to hide. Hiding was necessary in this state, and this place. But now things have changed. Now it is necessary to come out from hiding in order to continue being in secret.
I think I understand.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there were times I holed up in the teacher's lounge, and there were times I walked the halls looking like I had somewhere to go. Both are forms of hiding.
You put a lot of thought into hiding, haven't you?
I have no idea. You know, I actually thought about doing a thesis on it once.
And it will be a wonderful thesis.
Wait, what do you mean will be?
I am not constrained by the boundaries of time. I can see the past, present, and future all at once.
So I'll write it in the future? Oh, cool. What school should I apply to?
The future is but a shadow.
Okay, but can you give me a hint? Big Ten school, Pac-12, Ivy League?
The future is a shadow. And if we cannot change the present, the shadow will change.
Change the present? How?
We must wait.
How long?
A moment or two. We must wait.
What for? Why are we waiting?
For the universe to align.
Great. How long is that gonna take?
3 seconds.
What?
Hi. What's going on?
See?
Oh my goodness, Peggy knew that Cody was gonna come through that door.
Who's Peggy?
The ghost living in Dr. Graves' head.
Oh, good. I was wondering what her name was.
You knew he had a ghost in his head?
Sure. He talked about her all the time.
Enough! Things have aligned, so it is time to change course.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
You must come with me. You must see the truth.
Can't you just describe the truth to us while we stay here?
All must come. All must see.
What is it we're going to see?
You are going to see things as they really are. But to do this, you must come with me.
Where?
To the attic.
Oh, dang it, I knew it.
What's wrong now?
If something bad is going to happen, it always happens in that frickin' attic.
Well, we all know what that music means. It's time once again for Radio Icebox Playhouse. And it's suspense time tonight as we go back a few years and check out a story ripped from today's weathercast. It's Meltdown, and it starts right now. I didn't know it was going to thaw. If I'd known it was going to thaw, I'd have done something different. See, until you've done something like this, you don't know all the little details that you need to plan things. You don't know everything that could go wrong. You know what I mean? You need to understand this. It's important to me that you understand this, that it's really, really hard to get all the details right.
Why don't you just tell me what happened from the beginning? Do you need some coffee? Water?
No, it's fine. From the beginning? From the very beginning? I don't think I'd want to do that.
Why not?
It just goes back to everything. It goes back to the start of our marriage. It goes back to what I thought she wanted and what it turns out she wanted. I mean, they tell you what they want, women. They go to these great lengths to talk about communication and getting along with your partner. And that's all fine, so long as you're giving them what they want.
What happened when you couldn't give her what she wanted?
Yeah, it's the problem. See, it was the weather.
The weather?
Yeah. The weather got warmer than I thought it would. You know how it is in wintertime when the snow falls and the city goes around and they scoop it up and they move it off the streets? You see, the thing is, you can go 200 miles south of here and they can pretty much move it off to the curb and it'll melt eventually. But this far north, you can't do that. Once it falls past November, it's like sand, you know? It's got to be moved. And that's what the city crews do. They move the snow. I mean, we only get a good snow every couple of weeks, but the snow that falls doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't melt. And you can't just
leave it there, it'll pile up on the side of the road. The piles would grow too big. So they move it to intermediate places, like the school parking lot that's across the street from my house. And you know, if we go long enough time without a snowstorm, they'll come in with big earth-moving equipment, backhoes and dump trucks and stuff, and they'll take the snow, and they'll move it to a field outside of town. It's a field that's not used for anything else, right? The snow just goes there, and when the snow melts, it's just a bunch of junk. Just the sand and the garbage that got picked up along with the snow the previous winter. That's where I thought she'd be, you know? I thought she'd be out there in the snow field, but budget cuts, I guess. I guess they don't move the snow late in the year. They figure it's going to melt soon anyway, so they just leave it there where it is. You know, it's about courage. It's about being decisive. Rebecca was right about that. She always said I wasn't decisive enough.
Why don't you do something?
Decisive enough. Not enough for her, anyway. I never was.
Why don't you do something? Huh? Answer me.
What do you want?
I want to know what you've done all day.
I made dinner.
Yeah, I can see that. The frozen pizza box is still on the counter. Careful it don't burn.
I got a timer on.
Yeah, on the watch I gave you. Seriously, it's been that computer all day, hasn't it?
I'm looking for work.
Yeah, well, the things you're looking at, I don't think they pay you for.
What's that supposed to mean?
Don't talk back. I've been at the shop all day. I'm tired. You buy any wine?
We don't have the money.
Oh, yeah? What about the beer in here?
That's when Paul came over last night. He left it.
Well, I'm having one.
Help yourself.
Seriously, though, you could find a job. Maybe we'd get out of this dump.
This is my house. I grew up here.
Oh, you grew up? Come on, Derek. It's a joke.
It's one of your jokes. That's why I'm not laughing.
Oh, oops, it slipped.
You hit me with a bottle.
Oh, buck up, you wuss.
What's wrong with you?
Just shut up.
Rebecca, I'm bleeding.
I said shut up about it. Baby can't take more of a shot than that. It's no wonder we don't... Here.
What is that?
What does it look like? It's for your head. Quick, before you bleed to death.
Rebecca, that's one of your pads.
So... This is kind of what it's made for, right?
So is that why you killed her?
No. Now, see, I gotta tell this. I gotta tell this like it happened. It's gotta be told the right way, because you guys have to understand something. I'm not dumb. She called me that sometimes, but that was just because she was mad. Not because she really thought it. She called me dumb because I had made some bad decisions. But they weren't dumb decisions. Do you understand what I'm saying? They weren't what she wanted. She wanted to sit around the house and have me provide for her. And then when she found out that I...
Found out that you what? No, really. What is it?
Never mind. Well, you know, she always wanted a family. And I've got this condition. We couldn't have kids.
Yeah, I understand. Go on.
See, that was the thing I couldn't handle. If she wanted to call me dumb, that was fine. If she wanted to say I was worthless, that was fine. We had a system worked up where I had my room and she had her room, and we kind of stayed away from each other. She'd make meals, and I'd do odd jobs around the house, and some days I'd make meals when she had to work late, and it was kind of like a truce. And I knew that part of the truce was that she got to call me dumb and... Stupid.
You don't like being called stupid?
No. Because you know the thing is, stupid is a hard word. It just kind of sits there like it's made out of concrete. You can't move it. And it's not accurate. It's not true, you know? You ever notice how when you care about someone and they do stupid things, they're distracted or they're having a bad day or something like that? But if you don't care about them, then they're just stupid.
Did she call you stupid?
Thousands of times. You want to know why I did it? I'll tell you why I did it. And it wasn't because she called me stupid. I did it because of the snow. See, she didn't like going out in the wintertime. She didn't like going to the store. She just liked to put her feet up at the end of the day. She'd been getting kind of fat, frankly. You know, she works at a grocery store, deli. She ate lunch there every day, and then she started bringing home the chicken and stuff for dinner. So I figure she's eating 2-3 meals a day there, and you can't do that and just sit around all the time without, you know, your ass growing till it's 2 chairs wide. So she didn't like going out in the wintertime. I didn't mind it so much when it was clear and bright and warm outside, you know, summer. But when it wasn't, when it was just the two of us, that little house, that little tiny place, my mom gave it to me in her will, you know? Rebecca never wanted to stay there because of that. She kept talking about getting our own place. And I knew what she meant. She meant we should go spend money that we didn't have on a lot somewhere near the lake and then build a huge house. And it's... Why do we need such a big house, I'd say. Then the way she looked at me, it was so... It just made me feel small. And I could handle it when it was summer, like I was saying, because I could go out. Could go for a bike ride. I got one of those recumbent bikes, you know? Garage sale, $100. Oh, that pissed her off. $100 at a garage sale for anything. But it's good exercise, and you can go anywhere and not even get tired on that thing. You can go places in the summer, but in the wintertime, you know.
You felt trapped?
I guess it's just so hard to put up with her all that time.
So you decided not to put up with her?
Decided? You know, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like I decided. Because I'd always been, like, thinking about it. We got married when I was only 20 and she was only 19. We were kids. Both of us.
Honey pie?
I hate it when she called me that.
Hon, are you in here?
Yeah. Right here, Becca.
Oh, there you are. You got home early.
Yeah. We finished early, and it was Friday, so John just...
That's nice. Spaghetti okay?
Sure. Whatever.
I was thinking, you want to do something tonight?
Sure, like what?
Oh, I don't know. A movie?
I guess. What's playing?
I don't even know. Since you're online, could you check?
Maybe we shouldn't.
Why? Honey? Why?
It's nothing. Let's go to the movies.
No, really. What's wrong?
Promise me you won't be mad.
Well, what is it?
John had to let me go.
Can't
it's just going to be seasonal. When he starts getting more orders next spring, he's going to call me.
And what are we supposed to do until then?
We have some savings.
Christmas is coming up.
I was thinking maybe your parents?
Spaghetti.
You know, this isn't my fault.
Well, it's not my fault.
You could... What do you want me to do?
Why didn't you go back to school?
We agreed that we'd wait a couple years.
You agreed. You didn't want to go to school. You didn't want to do the work.
I wanted to go to school.
You wanted to live in your mom's little house and work at that stupid plant. And what was I supposed to do? Push out a few puppies?
Well, isn't that...
I don't care. I just don't. I gotta cook. Dinner in, whatever, 20 minutes.
So what happened?
Nothing. Nothing happened.
You got laid off?
Yeah, well, that happened. She got a job. Things got worse.
And eventually...
Yeah.
You started to think about killing her.
It snowed in March. See, that was the thing that always got to me. Because I knew that I could do it. I thought about it. I even dreamed about it a couple times. I knew that I could do it. It was just like, what do you do with the body, right? I mean, after you do it, you got to get rid of this thing. And I didn't think... I mean, you hear stories about people cutting up the body and putting it in garbage bags or some ridiculously messy thing like that. I couldn't do that. But the snow and the city crews that moved it, you know,
thought that could be a really good way to do this. But see, what happened was they didn't take away the snow. I thought it was going to be pretty simple. I thought she'd be in the snowbank and they'd scoop her up. Now, that part was going to be pretty iffy. I was sure when they moved that pile, they'd do it early in the morning. And the sun doesn't even come up until 9, so it'd still be dark. And there's already a lot of junk in the snow, leaves and garbage, so maybe they wouldn't even notice. Especially if I had her in a couple of plastic bags. And when they move her out to the field, and then maybe no one would notice. I didn't think anyone ever walked around that field after they dumped all the snow. Probably no one would notice until next fall when they started moving snow out there again. And by then, you know, would there be anything left? Just a couple plastic bags.
What happens after her mom comes looking for her?
You think I'm dumb? And I'm not dumb!
I didn't say you were dumb.
I'm not. She said it. She said it one too many times. One too many times. You know, when I finally did it, it wasn't even difficult. I mean, I was watching on TV about this thing about World War II, this documentary, and you know, only 20% of U.S. soldiers actually fired their weapons at the enemy? Can you believe that? Friggin' Nazis and Auschwitz and everything, and they couldn't even fire their guns at them because it is so incredibly ingrained. Don't kill another human being. I mean, you're a cop? You ever shot anybody?
No.
You ever draw your gun and held it on somebody and then been ready to shoot? How weird, didn't it? Well, here's my theory about that with me and Rebecca. It didn't feel weird because she wasn't a person anymore. She was the walking mouth. She used to just walk around the house talking about what an idiot I was and how worthless I was.
Can't believe I'm going to be living in this stupid little house.
I could do one thing right.
Stupid little
one thing. You know what you do?
Stupid little man.
You take a really good, solid plastic bag.
I can't believe.
And when she's not looking, you slip it over her head.
Could have been doing.
And then here's the genius part. Then you hit her over the head hard. No time for weakness. You got to swing with everything. In my case, it was this old bookend she'd bought. One of those craft fairs. The whole thing was made of metal. And it never got any blood on it because of the plastic bag, right? And you didn't even need to hit her hard enough to kill her because the plastic bag is already over her head and she's already unconscious. So you just have to get the plastic bag down around her neck. And then you got to shut it down tight and hold it there until she's not breathing anymore.
Is that what you did, Bede?
The hard part was getting her out into the snowbank. I hadn't really thought about that, you know. If it were summertime, I could have used a wheelbarrow. I could have used a chair. I started with an office chair. Just put her in the office chair. That's how I got her to the door. That was really easy. But then there were steps. And we don't have a walk. We have these stupid stepping stones. I thought about maybe getting a sled. But then I thought, no, the sled will leave sled tracks. So I ended up dragging her. And after I dragged her, I had to go back over it and rough up the places where I dragged her. And when I got to the snowbank, I couldn't just throw her on top. So I had to dig. And after I dug deep down, I had to make that look like it had been before. All of this, right? And I'm living right there on 3rd Street. Even if it's 2 in the morning, there's a car coming every couple of minutes. I had to hide every time. You know how hard it was? And here she was always telling me I never worked hard at anything. Does that make sense to you? Does it?
No, it doesn't.
It was just a perfect plan. Except for the weather. The weather was supposed to stay cold. And the city was supposed to come around and move the snow. And they didn't. And we started to warm up again. And those two garbage bags taped together, they were sitting at the bottom of that snowbank. And I watched. I watched for a week or two. And I watched that snowbank get smaller and smaller and smaller. And I just kept watching. And then I realized they weren't going to move the snow because the snow's going away by itself. I mean, that's not fair, is it? I mean, you work for the city. You should do your job. You do your job. You catch criminals. I'm a criminal. You caught me, right?
No, Bede. You confessed. You came in and told us everything.
That's right. See, it's the dripping. Because while I was watching the snowbank get smaller, all the snow from the roof on our house was dripping off. We had ice dams, and they were forming up. You couldn't go outside without hearing it. I mean, I could avoid looking at the snowbank across the street where she was, but I couldn't. It's the dripping, you know? The dripping. Most people, they hate winter. I hate spring. I hate it, I really do.
Okay, Bede. I think you should go back to your room now.
The dripping. It's like that. What do they call it? Chinese water torture.
I understand.
It's the dripping.
I understand.
Well?
You heard, of course?
Yes. I think acquisition is complete. Every detail of the Foundation story is there, and he's adding to it. We never told him that stuff about the plastic bag. He came up with it all on his own.
Do you really think he'll be of any use to us?
Field tests? It's the only way to know for sure. You're concerned?
No.
Listen, I know we're still technically in the service, but when you get attached to this unit, it's not like the service. You can tell me things. It's vital for the project that you do.
My concerns are ethical.
That's normal.
We find this guy, this schizophrenic from Minnesota who's never hurt anyone, and we convince him that he's killed his wife. Why?
You heard it from him. It's difficult to train someone to take a life. Infantry, we can train to acquire targets and execute without thinking. Muscle memory exercises like playing a video game. But for Black Ops, we need someone who can get close, who can work quiet.
Like putting a bag over an imam's head and hitting him with a bookend?
That was exciting. Improvisation. He's already thinking of interesting ways. He's moving beyond what we suggested, filling in details.
Still, we're trusting important missions in the hands of nutcases.
I prefer to think of them as having a useful predisposition. And they are very trainable.
And expendable.
As you say, your difficulty is ethics.
I'll work on it.
See that you do. The next one is in room 327.
Tina. The teen with the drug problem who still thinks they're monsters under the bed.
I have big hopes for this one.
Been listening to Meltdown, written and directed by Jeffrey Adams. The cast featured Jim Yunt as the cop. Jeffrey Adams was Bede. And Karen Chekel played Rebecca and the Doctor. This program copyright 2010 by the Icebox Radio Theater, which is solely responsible for its content. On the web at iceboxradio.org.
I knew it.
You knew what?
Still creepy. And look, that pentagram is still on the floor.
It's not a pentagram. It's a spirit circle.
Whatever. It's the symbol of this crazy year.
Well, you could have cleaned it up any time.
Which would have involved coming up here. Creepy.
He's not wrong, you know.
Is that Peggy speaking?
It is. And it is not.
I'll take that as a yes.
It is. And it is not.
Fine. Peggy, why are we here? You keep saying we'll see the truth.
You will, yes. First, there is something you should know. Nothing is as it seems.
You know, with the way things have gone so far, I am okay with that.
It's worse.
Of course it is.
You all know that Major Rideau was here yesterday, was working with you on the show. Several days before, he assaulted Cody with a wrench.
Wait a minute.
It's all right, Cody. All will be clear in a moment. You know that Major was with all of you, correct?
Yeah, of course.
Then I need everyone here to do something. I need you all to relax, to blank your minds, to become receptive to the vibrations of this place.
I think I'm already too receptive.
Quiet?
No, he's quite right. That's why you're the one to open the lid, JJ.
The lid?
The lid.
Okay. What lid?
That one, over there.
You mean the old filing cabinet?
Oh, filing cabinets do not have lids, JJ. Mm. I mean the box next to it.
What is that?
It's just an old crate. Some office furniture came in. It's been up here for years.
All of you must do what I say. Gather around the crate. Gather so that you may see.
Sure.
Okay.
JJ, stand there at the head.
The head?
You'll see. If you look behind you and under the old control panel, you'll find a crowbar.
You mean over here?
Oh, the other side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, here it is.
Hey, I've been looking for that.
It's covered in dust. How long has that thing been back there?
Years. Dr. Graves, how...
Not now, Cody. I need you to blank your mind. Everyone, blank your minds. You need to be ready for what you'll see.
What's in the box?
That's what you'll see.
Wait a minute. You want me to... Oh, no.
Oh, you must, JJ.
I won't.
You have to.
I am not opening up the vaguely coffin-shaped box with a crowbar.
Oh, I'll do it.
No. It has to be this way. It has to be him.
Well, fine. I mean, if you're going to be that way about it.
Everyone, move around the box.
Okay.
And blank your minds.
I know.
Now, JJ, start at that end and pry slowly. Tell me when it's loose.
Okay. Okay.
Now, JJ, lift the lid. And remember, keep your minds blank.
Here goes. What?
What is this?
Can you not see?
I can see full well, and I don't think it's funny.
Oh, quick! All of you, on the count of three, say the man's name, his first name. One, two, three.
Major. What was that little exercise about?
Is that a mannequin?
It is him. It is he. But you are all missing something important.
What?
Cody, describe your grandfather to me.
What?
Just do it, please. I want to see how this plays out.
Well, okay. Small man, black hair, glasses.
And now describe this man. The man in the box.
Kind of large, in his 60s, bearded.
Why's he got that fishing cap on?
Why, indeed. You all agree, at the moment JJ opened the box, that the man inside was Major Rideau?
Yes.
Of course we did.
And yet, when I asked Cody to describe Major Rideau, He looked nothing like this man.
Well, no, because, wait a minute.
Look again, Cody. Is this your grandfather?
Yes. Yes, it totally is.
But the other man, the man that fell from the balcony, who was that?
Who indeed?
And how come all of us thought he was Grandpa? It doesn't make any sense.
It makes about as much sense as anything else around here.
Sam, what are you doing here?
Is it like he said, the man in the box?
Look for yourself.
Yeah, that's the damnedest thing. That's Major Rideau, all right. But it wasn't Major Rideau yesterday. Yesterday, Major Rideau was a skinny little guy with glasses.
You know, now that you mention it, I always thought he sounded a little young.
I'm not getting any of this. Sam, why are you here?
At the request of Dr. Graves there, he said if I let him go ahead with this little exercise, everything would become clear.
And is it?
Clear enough. Dr. Graves, you're under arrest for the murder of Major Rideau.
This has been Radio Icebox, Season 1, Episode 14, Box, Set, Match. Starring Ayla McIntosh as Abby, Cody Boyer as Cody, and Jeffrey Adams as JJ. Our guest stars were James Yunt as Sam and Douglas Screef as Dr. Graves. Direction and post-production by Jeffrey Adams. Some sound effects from the Freesound Project at freesound.org. The song this week was Icebox by Rogue Valley, available on their album False Floor. Learn more about them and their music at lostinroguevalley.com. The Radio Icebox Playhouse theme song is Monkeys Spinning Monkeys by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. The radio play was Meltdown by Jeffrey Adams, originally recorded by the Icebox Radio Theater in 2010. Radio Icebox Season 1 is made possible in part by the voters of Minnesota through a grant from the Arrowhead Regional Arts Council, thanks to appropriations from the Minnesota State Legislature's General and Arts and Cultural Heritage Funds.